We learned that the phrase actually means that the bonds of those who shed blood together in battle is stronger than those who share the water of the womb. And as you know, my time in service was very important to me. I was enlisted in September of 1989, and 13 years later, in September of 2002, my enlistment ended. I received a form called a Department of Defense Form DD-214, and any veteran knows how important a DD-214 is. This is the document, is your official separation. For me, it was a day of mixed emotions when I received my DD-214. I knew it was time, and I knew it was best for me to leave my service. But at the same time, I was sad. I had invested 13 years of my life to the Army Reserve, including training and weekends, annual trainings, and a deployment. I worked with and trained with some of the best people I have ever known. And that is what made it hardest to leave. I was committed to the Army and to our mission, but I was especially committed to the people that I loved, the people that I served with. And as special as those relationships seem to be, there is a higher order of service where the relationships are built on a completely different kind of power, a higher order of service that once that we are enlisted as Christians, there is no end date. There is no DD-214 for you as a Christian. That was the kind of relationship that Paul had with the church in Philippi. So let us go back to the scriptures. It starts out, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy, he says that they were servants of Christ. What is interesting about this phrase is that the word translated as servants could also be translated as slaves. But the meaning is not the way we think of slavery. The word used here in context means they are highly committed level of service. When they are servants or slaves to something, that means they are all in, fully committed. Much in the same way a soldier commits his entire being to his unit in the service of his country. Paul and Timothy were two people fully committed to the cause of Christ. Now, could you imagine what would happen if all of us here had that level of commitment? Sure, we call ourselves Christians, but how many of us can actually define ourselves as servants of Jesus? How many of us can say we are fully committed to the cause of Christ? That is the example for us to live up to. And then we look at the love that Paul has for the church at Philippi. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Paul describes Christianity as a partnership in the gospel. You, me, and everyone here is in a partnership together. And I don't think we always look at it that way. We gather here for an hour or sometimes longer, and then most of us go our separate ways. But you see, we are to be in a partnership in the cause of the gospel. And we are to carry it on until the final day of victory after Christ's return. Now, at one point, Methodism was the fastest growing denomination in the world. Methodism swept across England, and then it spread to the American colonies faster than they could produce clergy. When Methodism was growing at its fastest rate, the lay people had regular meetings called class meetings. In its earliest days, the class meeting was required for everyone who was Methodist. And it often included men and women in one group. And there were typically 7 to 12 Methodists in a class meeting, and they met at least once a week outside of the church. And this was all done by lay people, not driven by the pastor. And this, despite the name, don't get fooled by the name class meeting. This was not a Bible study or a Sunday school. It wasn't about gaining more knowledge about the Bible. In this meeting, the basic question of the class meeting was, how does your soul prosper? How does your soul prosper? These people would get together and share with one another the things in their life that they are going through. It was about living out their lives together in loving support for one another and the name of Christ. I know in this time of COVID, we certainly know how much we miss seeing each other and how powerful it is to meet with people face to face. But you see, these small groups were powerful and did more to connect people spiritually on an individual basis than anything that could happen with just meeting on Sundays alone. I wish I could tell you it was all about the power of preaching. I wish I could tell you I was the most important part of the church. But this Sunday meeting is important. But it is more important that we come together as people and connect with one another and lift each other up spiritually. And what is interesting in the early days of Methodism, when they had this class meeting that, again, was mandatory for you to go every week, this is where they collected the offering. They didn't collect offering in their worship services. It was done through the lay people. And then they had even smaller groups called band meetings. The band meeting was optional for membership, though it was highly encouraged for all Methodists who had experienced justification by faith and the new birth. That means you have found your salvation. You've been confirmed, not just baptized. But bands had no more than five people, and in them they were divided by gender and marital status. So married men with married men, married women with married, singles with singles. And there were several prerequisites before you joined the band meeting. And once you joined a group, there were five questions you were asked at every weekly meeting. And we might consider this an accountability group. And this is where you get personal, and this is where you really grow. They would ask questions like, what known sins have you committed since our last meeting? Do you want to sit down with people and answer that one? They would ask, what temptations have you met with? How were you delivered from the temptations? What have you thought, said, or done, and not sure if it were a sin or not? Have you nothing you desire to keep secret? These were John Wesley's rules, and this is how John Wesley lived. Every week, he got together with his group, and then he had the smaller band meeting, and these guys held each other accountable. They helped each other strive to Christian perfection. The band meeting was a place of deep vulnerability and intimacy. It was a place where Christians were completely honest with each other about the ways in which they knew they had fallen short of who God was calling and in enabling them to be in Christ. It was this closeness, this intimacy, this partnership, this fellowship and servanthood that grew the church. And the same fellowship that was felt in Philippi was felt in the Methodist church through most of the 1800s. And the church grew. And we read on as Paul continues in verse 7. He says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. These people were together through thick and thin. They supported each other through times of struggle and times of success. The people of Philippi heard about the Jews struggling to eat in Jerusalem under the persecution of the Romans, and they sent food. They heard of Paul's needs while in prison and sent people and money to aid him. They didn't just speak of the love of Christ. They lived the love of Christ. It was a bond that they had that knew no boundaries. And as we continue in verse 9, Paul writes, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." That was Paul's prayer for the people of Philippi. And this is my prayer for you. This is what I want for all of you. I want this church to break through and do amazing things. I want this church to grow closer together so that our love may abound more and more and more. It is my desire that we grow in knowledge and depth of insight so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, that we may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And all of this not to say, look at what we did, but that we did all of this for the glory and the praise of God. And we can do all of this by building on what we already have here. We do this when we forge the type of relationships with one another in service of Christ. But we have to be willing to commit ourselves first to Christ and then to His church. There's a phrase I like to say that says, "Go from good to great." It was a phrase that came from a book called Good to Great. But I like that phrase. You need to go from good to great. I want this church to go from good, because I think we are good. We are a good church. And in some ways, we're a really good church. But I want us to continue our growth to go from good to great. I want you to start thinking about where you as an individual stand with God. I want you to think about, what is your commitment level to Him? Are you all in? What is your commitment level to this church? Are you all in? God is calling this congregation to go from good to great. And to do that, we need to be more and more like the church at Philippi. We must be fully committed to advancing the gospel. And we have some things here that we are doing well. We have some things that we can improve on. And we have some new things that we should start doing. And one of the things that we can do is we continue to be a church devoted to prayer. We have a prayer chain, which is wonderful. We share our joys and concerns. We have prayer jars, which I promise the updates will, they're printed, they'll come out this week. And we have our Wednesday night community prayer. We have lots of opportunities to share and gather in prayer. And we need to be devoted to do them week after week after week after week. If you didn't get a copy of the bulletin, take one home. I try to email and update the joys and concerns every week. Take these and pray over for each other every day. Use our prayer jars. Use our Wednesday night community prayer. I have an alarm set in my phone that goes off at 6:57 every Wednesday night. So I have a few minutes to gather up boys and Carla, and we get together, interrupt whatever we're doing, whether it's baseball, whether it's dinner, whatever it is, we stop and pray for our community. Those are things we need to continue to do, and if you're not devoted to them, join the bandwagon. Let's continue to do these great things. And we need to be devoted to increasing our knowledge of God. Because class meetings, like I said, were not about knowledge. Those were something separate. But we still need to learn. I try to teach you on Sunday mornings. I try to offer devotions throughout the week and follow-ups. But you need to have your own personal devotions. And we are going to restart some Sunday school and Bible study here. So that announcement will be coming, by the way. And then another thing we need to continue to do is we need to be devoted to worship. Sunday worship needs to be a priority in our lives and not just on Sundays. We need to worship God every day of the week. We need to praise Him from our homes. We need to praise Him in our cars. We need to praise Him in front of other people. And we also needed to be devoted to other days like Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, and Christmas Eve. We need to be devoted to growing spiritually. And I would like us to consider starting some class meetings. And I know I can ask, and I don't know if anybody is interested, but starting a class meeting where you get together with 7 to 12 other members on a regular basis and meet together and just help each other grow spiritually. Class meetings are a great way that we can connect to encourage and love one another. And we need to continue some of the great ways that we already serve other people. We have a long tradition of donating to different types of missions, whether it's school supplies or collecting toothpaste and personal care items. And our missions ladies do a lot of great work. And we need to continue serving at mission opportunities like Block and Tram and Baby Basics. Those are all great things. And so we need to continue to be devoted to that. And most importantly, we need to be willing to share our faith. Because that is really where we advance the gospel. I was reading in one of my history books, and they said the spread of the gospel in the early days was more because of the people. We all like to think it's the Apostle Paul, right? He went to all the churches and he did all the work. It was really the church spread because one merchant told another merchant who told the vendor, who told the buyer, who told people. That's how the gospel spreads. That's how we advance the gospel, is when you share your faith. And one easy way to do that is use social media to share what is going on in the church's life, to share what is going on in your life. And if God is doing good and great things in your life, this is something you need to share with other people. Because that is how people will know what faith really means. We must be devoted to our calling as a church. Our calling as a church is to do what? Advance the gospel. Go and make disciples. And all of these things that I just listed are just some of the ways that will help us in that cause. Now the question is, are you ready to be committed to your service to God? Are you ready to be all in? Because I'm limited as what I can do as one person. And maybe you feel limited at what you can do as one person. But what if 10 of us, even just 10 of us, were on fire for God? That would make a pretty big impact. What if 20 of us were on fire for God? What an impact we could make. There's usually 30 plus people in here on a service like this, and we've got another 30, 40, 50 people watching online. What if all of us came together and said, our number one goal is to advance the cause of the gospel. And we're going to do that by supporting and loving one another. We're going to do that by supporting and loving our community, because that's the kind of church I think we are. We have so many great and wonderful people here, so many great and wonderful things that we already do. And if we just pull together a little tighter, we pull together and start class meetings, we pull together and allow the Holy Spirit to take control. When we start saying, it's not about me, it's about God. When we start saying, God, you have my first of everything. The first of my time, the first of my labor, the first of the fruits, the first of whatever you want, God. I will be obedient. We read the scriptures from Exodus. And Moses came down from the mountain, gave the instructions to the people. And they said, we get it. We're with you. Let's go. But the road is not easy, because what happened to the Israelites? They had a long 40-year journey, didn't they? It's not going to take us 40 years to get where we need to be. Because if we follow God and have faith in God, He will carry us. So the question is, are you ready? And if you are, let's join together and let's get this going. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in some ways we are in easy times because we do have technology and we can reach hundreds of people in a matter of minutes. But we're also in a challenging time where COVID and other restrictions are in place that keep us from meeting sometimes the way we would like to meet. But I know that you are a God greater than all of the things that are in front of us today. And Lord, I humbly ask that your Holy Spirit move among us, that your Holy Spirit talk to each individual and let them know where they need to be with you. And Lord, for the ones who are ready, allow them to step out and say, yes, Lord, I will lead where you need me to lead in this church. And for those who aren't quite ready, Lord, give them a heart to grow, to become where you need them to be. Give them a thirst for your knowledge. Give them a desire to serve you. Lord, we have so many great things and so many wonderful talents and people. And I thank you for the gifts that we have here. We thank you for the gift of this beautiful facility. We thank you for all the people who work to make things go behind the scenes. But Lord, allow everything to come together so that we can go and advance the gospel. Because there are people out there, lots of people, who do not know your peace, your love, your grace, or your mercy. And Lord, let us share with them the good news of what you do for your faithful people, so they can feel the blessings that we feel and the joy that we feel, even in the times of tribulation. Let us go and be the church that you have called us to be. We ask all of this through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit with us. Amen. Going back to the prayer of Paul to the Philippians, which is also my prayer for you, Paul writes this to the Philippians, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let us go and follow him. Let us go in unity of service, unity of heart, and unity of spirit. Go and serve in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.